there. Mark 4:26. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed on the ground. He sleeps at night and is awake during the day. The seeds sprout and grow, although the man doesn't know how. The ground produces grain by itself. First the green blade appears, then the head of full of grain. As soon as the grain is ready, he cuts it with a sickle because the harvest time has come. He cuts it with a sickle because the harvest time has come. So we're going to continue talking about reaping your harvest. Now, this is about getting what is yours, getting justice, getting the rewards, and get everything, and it has everything to do with the vengeance that we talked about on certain levels, okay? So I would mention to you one more time that vengeance is not about hating and repaying evil for evil. It's about justice. It doesn't have anything to do with hating on somebody and, you know, Jesus kill them, that kind of stuff. It's not about that. It's about justice. Now, so in this segment that we're going to talk about right now, we're going to talk about the law of seed time and harvest a little bit. And we're talking about how you should reap your harvest. So just like vengeance, getting your harvest is not automatic. Look at somebody and say, it's not automatic. It's not, okay? So there's no farmer that I know of that looked out to the field and watched the corn jump out of the field and go to the barns. It's not hopping to the barn. No. The only things that dance like that is the popcorn and the Coke and a hot dog at the movies. And they're trying to hop into you. But it doesn't, none of this happens in real life, okay? You have to do something about it. So both being avenged and getting a harvest are voice activated. So the law of seed time and harvest, it actually encompasses much. So I want to mention some things to you. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's so much in that. So much in it. Because it's, you decide what you're sowing into. And if you just sow into this dimension, or you just sow from and into the flesh, you're just going to reap that area. That could not be good. And, but there's just so much I don't have time to go into it. Maybe sometime we'll just take that apart. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, so that, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not without fruit in the Lord. So, you know, we just talked about on Sunday how that the good deeds that we've sown, that we are to receive them like Mordecai did. We're to actually get a reward, and it's not wrong to get rewards. God is not a socialistic government. He believes in rewards. He believes in the trophy going to the person who's winning. Amen. So how many things have you done for the Lord and you didn't get a harvest? And so that's what we've been talking about. So everything you do is a seed, whether it's right or wrong. It's a seed. It could just be sowing to the flesh. You could be judging people. You're sowing. Yeah. You could be trying to control everybody. You're sowing. Amen? You are. Hey. Stop pouting because you can't control people.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. Stop it. Yeah. It's not doing you any good. You can't control people. No. Believe me, I know. And we all do. Amen. Now, so everything you do is a seed. Now, we don't do what we do just to get a harvest. I know that. We love Jesus. We love God. And so we're following along and going with what he wants to go with. And so we do it just because we love him, because, hey, he hung on the cross. He gave his life. He gave everything for us. He gave up his divine nature to come to earth. He paid the price. We do it just for that. But there are rewards. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He's a remunerator. He'll answer upon approach. He sees something coming, he's going to answer it. Amen? Okay, so Psalm 112, you know, these are the scriptures about a righteous man. And who are you? You're a righteous person. You are right with God. So by design, if God is right and you are right, then by design you can receive. Because you're on the same level with him as far as seed time and harvest and everything. You're okay. You don't have to think, I'm not worthy to receive. Jesus made you worthy to receive. Amen. So Psalm 112 says, they themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will last forever. And the verse 9 says, they share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. So your good deeds are never forgotten. You remember what I told you that Vicki Burke said? She said she was telling the Lord, she said, Lord, I've done a bunch of good deeds. And the Lord said, so what? And she's like, huh? What do you mean, so what? And the Lord said, you can't just do the good deed. You've got to reap the harvest. You've got to cry out. Crying out, not being wah, wah, but hey, that's mine. Yeah. I declare that just like Mordecai of old, I am rewarded. You have to say something. And we'll get a little bit more into that. You'll see clearly why it works like this in just a moment. But your good deeds aren't forgotten. So we're going to back up just a little bit and then we'll talk about that. Mark 4 is one of the greatest teachings in the Bible. It is probably my favorite. And so we're talking about the harvest here. So just a few things we should go over. Jesus said that the kingdom of God works on the principle of seed time and harvest. So that's what he's talking about in Mark 4. It's also in Luke 8 and Matthew 13. Now, so he's talking about sowing the word of God into your heart. You sow the word into your heart. But the principle works for deeds. The principle works for finances. Sowing works all the way across the board. So you could write at the top of Mark 4, you could write how the kingdom works. And you would be totally on key for doing that. How the kingdom works. Because this is how it works. It works by seed time and harvest. Particularly sowing the word. Now Mark 4:14 says the sower sows the word. And then he goes on talking about the kind of ground that you sow into. The ground being the heart of a person, the spirit of a person. And so wayside ground never gets through. Most of us have planted something and you know that if you don't plow it up and you just throw seed out on the hard ground, there's no understanding. There's no revelation there. Nothing's going to come up. That seed's going to be picked up by a bird or blown away somewhere. And then, of course, there's the rocky ground, and it won't let anything root. So, and then there's the thorny ground, and it chokes the word. When you take a care, you choke that word out, and then you have no harvest. So when we're talking about the harvest that is supposedly there, you're going to want to look back at the ground that you sowed the word into, or you sowed your finances in, actually have a look at those things and make sure you're getting some plowed up ground there. So, example, if you sowed into Victory, we're good ground. If you sowed into KCM, I sow into them at the first of every month. Church sows into them. They're good ground. So then would start the growing process. So you, listen, you sow seed from this realm. Words are material things, deeds, into the heavenly realm. And the heavenly realm will produce and send back a manifestation in this realm. Walk with me. Okay? So, don't kill it along the way. So now how many of y'all are growing something right now? Anybody? Okay. What do you have to do? Water. Mm-hmm. You got to water it. So you water all of your seeds. That's the word then going into your heart, the good deeds, the finances, with the word. But if you have wayside ground, the word isn't getting through and growing anything. If you have rocky ground, someone might challenge your beliefs or persecute you, and that might put you in a bind, because then you're struggling. Your affliction has come. And so you start struggling, and your ground is not being able to do, your heart is not doing what it needs to do with the word. Got it? And then there's that thorny ground. Yeah. And so if you have thorny ground, you take the cares of the world or other people, start dealing with that. You get involved in what the Bible calls deceitfulness of riches. What is deceitfulness of riches? What it is, we call it materialism. It means that you're trying to solve a spiritual need with material things. It would be like if someone was really, really unhappy, someone might say, well, if that husband would just buy her a new car, she would be happy. That's not going to solve the problem, or a new house, or whatever. If he would just get her a big diamond ring, you know, she might, that's materialism. To think that you're going to be happy just because you have something. Mm-hmm. Happiness and joy happen on the inside. Amen. And so, we're not going to be steered away by that or the lust of other things. You the word, that all that chokes the word, and that's a reason why people would not see their harvest. Their harvest is getting choked out because they're spending all their time spinning in here, letting their soul take over their spirit. Their soul is bullying the spirit of God, their spirit, just bullying all the time. And so it's on their mind, and they're swirling, and then demons come and help with that. And it's just an ongoing thing. And they pick up cares that they have no business picking up. And you can look straight ahead because everybody in here's done it. So we're not pointing the finger at anybody. We've all done it. But we can all come out of it. Now, here's the question. Are you listening?
Yep.
Here's the question. What does the word have to do with my financial or material seeds and deeds? What does the word have to do with it? Church, the word of God is the spirit part of three-dimensional things. Mm. You hear me? Mm-hmm. The word is the spiritual part of this chair. Do you get where I'm going with that? If I believed I received a chair, it would go in the spirit realm first and be planted in my heart, and then angelic forces would begin to move, and the chair would get ordered, and it'd get shipped to me, and be here. But there's a spiritual part to it. Can I remind you that the Hebrew word for thing is the word word? It's called divar. It's the same word. So word is a thing. Thing is a word. So all words are going to help develop or not develop things.
True.
Okay? So we have to understand that about the word. The word is the connection. Words are the spirit part of a tangible thing. You remember what Gabriel said to Mary? He said, therefore also that holy thing. He called Jesus that holy thing, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And what did Mary say back to Gabriel? Be it done unto me according to your thing? No, be it done unto me according to your word. So we see holy thing and word right there. That word made that holy thing. She received that holy that word, which made the holy thing.
Wow.
You receive a word, it will make a thing.
That's good.
Mamas, you received a seed that made a baby.
Yeah.
It's the same principle. That's seed time and harvest too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what happened. So now, so let's go back over there to Mark 4 and let's look at 24. And we will establish a couple other things. Mark 4:24 says, he said unto them, now, this is really good here. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. How you hear God's word, receive and act on it, will determine the level of your harvest. Okay? It'll determine the level of your results will be measured by the attention you give to what you hear. You have to give it attention. What happened in Mark 4 when Jesus was preaching on it? A whole bunch of people only heard that seed went into the ground. It was a parable. But then there were a bunch of hungry guys who said, what are you talking about? And he said, I'm talking about spiritual matters here. What happened right there? They measured what they heard. They wanted to understand what Jesus was saying. When you want to understand what Jesus is saying, you are measuring to yourself a portion. Okay, so he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, shall it be taken even from what he has. So there's your picture right there. You're going to get the word. You're going to get the stuff. And more word. Yeah. How you hear God's word, receive and act on it, will determine the level of your harvest. Your results are measured by the attention that you give to what you hear. The measure of honor and attention you give is the measure of power and virtue. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
How you honor the word. Okay? How you give your attention will measure back power and virtue, the power and virtue of your harvest. That's good right there.
Yeah.
It'll measure the power and the virtue that's going to come into your heart and bring the word to pass. It's fertilizer. It's watering it and it's fertilizer. It'll make things grow. Praise the Lord. Church, listen, it's not the amount of God's word that you hear that determines the results. You can play the whole Bible tonight and just let it run in. You could. It depends on the revelation or the understanding you're receiving as you're doing it. There are people who quote the Bible all the time. They don't have a clue what they're even talking about. We've all heard it and listened to it and gone, what are they talking about? It didn't make it. But if you get revelation, you have eaten something. It's going into your heart and it's going to produce. You can receive more reading one chapter if you're getting revelation than by reading the entire Bible. That's why we treasure some of our teachers, people like Charles Capps and Brother Copeland, these people who have taught us to repeat and confess certain scriptures, because every time you say that to yourself, you can receive a new level and you go, ooh, I just saw something I've never seen in that before.
Yeah.
You could take one scripture and say, I mean, well, I've been in this for a long time. Sometimes I can hardly believe that I see a new thing out of Mark 11:23, but I do. And all of a sudden I'm going, you got to be kidding. I didn't see that before. And how many times have we read it? How many times have we seen that? Yet there's something about the word of God that's so alive that it'll continue to produce revelation in your life. And that revelation will bring you a harvest.
Yeah.
Amen. So, it's not the amount. It's that you're getting something from it. And so then that's good ground. That's good ground. You're getting something and you're keeping it. You're not letting the word be stolen from you.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Church, don't let him have it.
Yeah.
Just don't let him have it.
Amen.
You know, we believe in prosperity. We believe in health. We believe in good relationships. But you will totally void those out if you let yourself stay in turmoil all the time. You're going to void out everything that God has for you if you just don't know how to cast down imaginations. That's the big thing. Amen. Now, look back at Mark 4:21 there, and Let's look at this. He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which will not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. Now, a lot of people go, everything that's been a secret is going to come out. Ooh, everybody going to know what I did? That's not what that scripture's about. This scripture is about that the word is to be understood. The word is to be, you're supposed to become enlightened about it. And the harvest, it also means this, the harvest is guaranteed. If you put something under something, under the dirt, into your heart, under this dirt, it's going to manifest sooner or later.
It is.
It is guaranteed. It will come up and be seen. Yeah. So if you sowed, then you sowed word into your heart, you're going to get a harvest.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So good example now. The tithe or the gift of finances, the money itself is the whole. You're going to give $5 or $50 or $100, but whatever it is you're giving, that's the whole. But there's a spirit part of that. And it happens when you say words. Lord, I come to you and honor you with my first fruits.
Yes.
Now that part went into the realm. And that part went into the realm in you. And then the realm in you, the kingdom of God's in you. And that kingdom in you will start producing and working that tithe for you, and the devourer will be rebuked.
Right.
It's in there working. The kingdom's in you, and it spreads, and it'll start coming out of you, and things around you will start moving around because you honored the Lord, and the whole went to the church and kept the lights on and paid the bills and went out to other ministries and did everything that it's supposed to do, and that's wonderful. But the part that was for you is the spirit realm part that went in you and became your employee.
Amen.
It is, isn't it? Now, the work of the kingdom is like this. When the seed is sown, it grows up. He didn't say occasionally. He didn't say if it be God's will. He said when a seed is sown, it grows up. It grows up. And it becomes what? Greater. Period. It grows up and becomes greater. You can't plant a kernel of corn and get one kernel out there hanging on the thing. It multiplies. This is how God works.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's how he works. You're in the middle of multiplication right now. Right now, right now, the seeds you've sown, they're multiplying. They're going pop, 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 everywhere. Well, I just don't know if I deserve it. Stop it. Well, I've got my mind too much on all this other stuff. Then cast that down and focus on God and how much he loves you. You are the righteousness of God. You're right with God. You're in right standing with God. You're okay. It's not what you did. It's what Jesus did. Now, so, God's economy is not like our economy. You know, one day up, the next day down and all that. It stays the same and works perfectly. That's why during COVID, this church prospered. That's why you prospered during COVID. We didn't lack anything. That's why in this economy, we've continued to climb. That's why we have these new blinds, if you've noticed. And other things in here, because we've continued to be blessed. Amen. We never changed our giving. In fact, over 21 years, we never did.
Nope. Never.
Mm-mm. God taught me a long time ago, when things get slim, don't hold back. Okay, that was free. Now, so if the requirements of good, if the requirements of good earth, good seed, good water are met, there will always be growth. There's, if you meet those requirements, there's going to be growth. If you get watered with the word, you're going to grow. That's why you keep coming here, because you're watered with the word. We're watered. That's why we pay attention to the teachers we listen to. They water us with the word. It changes our life. Amen. Stay with me now. We just got a couple more minutes. Wake yourself up. Now, so no matter what kind of seed you're sowing, money, deeds, smiles, finances, other resource, no matter what form it takes, make sure that you put life in it by giving it faith, by surrounding it with praise and worship. And then you've got it going, and then your little squash plant's going to come up. Your little new investment's going to come up. Your little children prospering's going to come up. You're going to find that they win trophies all the time, and they're blessed. And why is all that happening? Because you've sown good seed. And the Lord cares about your children. And they're going to do well because of what you're doing.
Right.
That's right. It's not just about you. It's about our children. It's about our grandchildren. It's about our spiritual children. I know y'all get that. Anyway, so just surround it with that. Now we're back to here as we go down the home line here. Mark 4:26, he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." So it keeps growing, 30, 60, 100-fold, here it comes. "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. The kingdom is voice activated. To reap you speak." Look at somebody and say, "To reap you speak." You have to speak. Now, let's just answer this question in case someone just can't figure this out. Why do we need to speak to reap? Because, you know, it seems like when you do something bad, you just reap it right down the line and nothing's stopping that. That's true. That is true. You can do something today, and tomorrow or the next day, it'll come back and slap you right in the face. You can judge somebody today. Well, blah, 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 blah. 2 days later, somebody's judging you. Yeah, yeah. Well, so why is that the truth? What's happening here? You know, hey, I cheated, and now I'm calling for a harvest to, a harvest that I can reap on that. No, you didn't. You don't want to reap that harvest. You're going to command a crop failure over that. You don't want to reap that harvest. So what is it? Why do we need to say something? Here's the truth. Satan, he doesn't want you to have the harvest, and he's the god of this world. So he holds on to your stuff because he's in this realm. He tries to hold on to your stuff. But listen, you're bigger than him.
Amen.
So you get above him. You have authority above him. If you're talking what he's talking, you keep your harvest on that level. But if you talk above him, which you are above him, you look at Ephesians 1. It says that you've seated in high places with Jesus. And that you're over principalities and powers and the things that are trying to run this world. Church, think about it. You're bigger than any regime that is trying to take us down. You are, even all by yourself. So if you complain and stay in that realm with it, you're just enhancing that realm. But if you take authority over it and say what you want and not complain about what's going on, eventually you're going to see that harvest. I will never help Deb if I say, "Man, I don't know about Deb. Deb's done this and Deb's done that, and I don't like what Deb's doing, and Deb needs to straighten up, and Deb. I'm just keeping her stewing. I am not help. But if I say, "Deb has got a lot of wisdom. Deb is this. Deb is that. Deb is..." And I start talking like that, Deb will come out. Not that you need to, Deb. I'm just saying. Well, maybe she does. No, no, I'm kidding. You see what I'm saying? Okay, same. Now, I just said it with a person, but same thing with your finances. I don't know what we're going to do. Well, we couldn't do that. Well, how would we ever do that? We can't go to that convention. How would we ever have the money to do that? Well, we could never. Oh, I understand. Lopez's are going to Hawaii on vacation. How could, well, I'll never be able to do that. You won't as long as you have that quacking in your mouth. Well, how are we ever going to get the country back? They've already sewn it all up. That guy sold into every DNA in the country, and this guy's hiding in the basement, running that guy, and da-da-da-da-da. I know a God bigger than all those guys. So the reason we speak is because we want to take authority over him having hold of it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can I just say something funny here? Give me my money. Give me my stuff. Give me this country back. See, that's how it should feel, like that. Okay, y'all get what I'm trying to do there. Yep. So, and you know, the reason why he hates it is because he knows you. He knows that you're going to do everything you can do to eradicate poverty, that you're going to preach the gospel around the world, that you're going to send people, that you're going to do all good things for the gospel. And he doesn't want that. Mm-hmm. Plus, he just don't want you to be happy. He wants you to be stirred up all the time.
Yeah.
And so he holds back. Yep. So, this is where, now, remember, he's the thief and the deceiver, okay? It's not the people, church. We're not warring against flesh and blood. He's the enemy behind it. Now, this is where, let's connect as we're going to close up here. This is where the reaping of the harvest and vengeance come together. And let me tell you what it is. God created a wealth transfer.
Yeah.
Okay? He created a wealth transfer, and Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. Now, that's one scripture. There are so many of them, but I don't have time to put them in here because we're on the clock right now. But there, you look them up. There's all sorts of scriptures. One in Ecclesiastes, there's a lot of the prophets. They talk about this wealth transfer. There should be a wealth transfer. The wealth is in the hands of darkness, and it needs to be transferred to the church or to God's people. And that would include your private personal funds that he's holding back. Okay? All right. For a number of reasons and a number of ways that he's doing that. So, there is a prophecy in the book of James. People just read it as, you know, this is the New Testament and it's just the New Testament, and he's talking to somebody. He's prophesying. And I'm going to read it to you. It's James 5:1. He says, come quickly now, you rich who lack true faith and hoard and misuse your resources. Now, this is not talking about that you can't be rich. This is talking about the wicked rich, okay? Mm-hmm. Weep and howl over the miseries, the woes, the judgments that are coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and is ruined, and your fine clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. You have, now here it is right here. You have stored up your treasure in the last days when it will do you no good. So they've stored it up. It's been stored up for the end time harvest. Can I just tell you, they've been working for you?
Yeah.
They've just been working for you.
Yeah.
Now it's time for it to come into your hand. Now listen, God wants everybody to get saved and come over into the right thing. Right. But if people continue to follow the enemy, it's going to be bad news for them. Mm-hmm. If Christians follow the enemy, it's bad news for them.
Yeah.
Okay, now, not that you wouldn't be saved and go to heaven. I'm just talking about you could experience things on the earth that you don't want to if you don't follow the path. Now, King James says they heaped up treasure for the last days. That's what your Bible probably says right there. God wants to visit with an economic vengeance in the last days. That's what he wants to do. He wants to visit with an economic vengeance. So money in the world system is a tool that the devil is using to push the clock. Am I right? He's trying to push the clock right now to bring us to a place where he thinks he's going to win. Mm-hmm. He's so dumb. Anyway, so he's trying to do that, but God's not going to be pushed. He's got the plan. Just like he had the plan to let Jesus be crucified, he's got the plan. They stored it all up, and now you're going to get yours. You're going to get your stuff. So here's what he needs us to understand. It's critical that we see ourselves in that place of authority above this stuff, because we are not victims. We are victors who need to move with God in a power that will stagger the world's imagination. Just get yourself in that place. Arise, shine, get on up there. Kumi. Kum. Kum, kum. What's the other word? Kum, I'm a kum. Come to a place. Yeah. And so, you want to get up into that place. Now I got to show you this. Indeed, the wages, this is verse 4. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. Did you get that? The wages are crying out. The wages of the people who really earned it. Mm-hmm. Okay? The people that really earned it, and then you had to turn it in once a year and whatever. Or you just didn't get it like Laban did. Those wages were Jacob's. They were crying out. Because Jacob is in covenant with God. Go with me. Okay. And the cries of the reaper. So indeed the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Two cries. The wages are crying and the workers are crying. The ones who really owned it are crying. When you were a kid, you got in the pool and they said, let's play Marco Polo. And they blindfolded you, and you'd say, Marco, and they'd say, Polo, Marco, Polo, and you would make your way until you found.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did y'all do that too? Okay, see, it went down generations playing Marco Polo. These wages are crying.
Yeah.
You need to cry.
Right, I mean.
They're saying, where are you? I'm right here.
Yeah.
I'm right here. Come here. Listen to my voice, Harvest. I'm right here. Come to me. I have a lot of my harvest now. Why are we saying it? Because we got to get above him. If you cry out, well, your harvest has been kept back by fraud, and it's crying to get into the right hands. And then you cry out, it'll reach the ears. And whose ears is it reaching? It's reaching the angelic forces. It said the Lord of the Sabaoth. Who's that? The Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies. Angel armies will respond to the voice of God. It says that angels hearken to the what? The voice of the word. So when you declare the word, the angels go, oh, let's grab that and take it over there.
Yes.
This is not a fairy tale. Right. This is real stuff happening in the realm.
Come on.
They're reapers. Angels are reapers. So the wages or the harvest is crying out. You're crying out. You use your mouth. What are you then crying for? Vengeance. That's mine. Let go of it. That's my land. Now, I understand that you cannot covet something that belongs to another person. But when the for sale sign goes up, or when they tell you something, Me and Deb, we kept looking at this place that where we wanted to live. We had driven by there 100 times. We're going to live there. We just want to live there one of these days. Just want to live there one of these days. We ended up buying the property next door. So we're like, that guy's in that house though. And we know he wants that house and everything. That guy walked over to the fence one day and said, you know, I just really don't even deserve to live here. And we went, opening. He doesn't want to live here. He said, I don't think I should be living here. And they ended up being gone from a number of things happened. But they ended up being gone and we got it. And we lived there. And then we left there. And then we came back there. And it's ours today. So see, when it comes available, call it. Don't covet someone's ranch. There's a ranch across the street. You're like, Pastor, you can't get that ranch. That thing's probably worth $40 million. Yo, mama. If God says I can, I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not going to covet it. That person still wants it. But this is what I say every time I drive by. Either me or Deb, we say it every time. It's around the corner from our house. We say, Lord, when they get finished with that, it's ours. Well, how could God do that? Well, how did he get me what I have right now? Yeah. Because for me, what I live in right now wasn't even possible 10 years ago for me. But it happened and now it is. And now,
yes.
Don't limit God. Got quiet. Are y'all thinking about it? So we have these harvesting angels and they're hearkening to God's word. So say the word. Say the word. If you continue to say the wrong thing about your finances, you're going to tie the hands of the angels. They're not going to move. Do not provoke them. Listen to this scripture. This is Exodus 23:20. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep thee in this the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Lord is in him. So when he says transgressions, he's meaning don't go against what my will is. I want you to prosper. I brought you here to have a good time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so right.
Do it.
Yes.
Get it.
Yes.
Go after it. Last, if you're not crying out for your harvest, the devil's going to hold it back.
Yeah.
To cry is to make a loud protest and demand immediate action. I demand that the seeds that I have sown return to me in a harvest. I declare that the good that I have done, and I'm not being prissy and arrogant about it. Yeah. I'm declaring what's rightfully mine in God. Yeah. I've sown for 30-something years, and I declare in the name of Jesus, and I've gotten a whole lot back already, but I can get a whole lot more back. And I'm just telling you, in the name of Jesus, I declare I'm rewarded like Mordecai of old.
Amen.
You receive this tonight?
Yes.
Declare this after me. This is Psalm 118:25. Save now. I pray. Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
I pray.
Send now prosperity.
Now get a little lump with it, okay?
Yeah.
Save now, I pray.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord, I pray.
Send now prosperity.
I have sown seed.
And good deeds.
I receive my reward.
Like Mordecai of old.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, watch it flow.
Yes.
Watch it flow.
Yeah.
Cause it will.
Thank you, Lord.
Knock those bills out. Get debt free. Get money in your account. Do what you want to do. Let the dreams come true because God will do them.
Yes.
People will go, well, I don't know why I'm doing that for you, but I'm doing it.
Yeah.
No. Well, it's just really hard for me to believe. Well, then don't get it. Either that or do your job and learn to believe.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be a mean mama, but it's just the truth. You're going to have to learn to believe.